we can have a better view of you, understanding of you. And Lord, we just thank you. And God, I pray you to just anoint me with the Spirit. I just speak words of the Spirit, and I pray hearts would be open to receive what you have to say, and that, Lord, you'd be an empowering presence here this morning to be an encouragement to people as we interact with one another and go out into this world. So we give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The title to the message here this morning is, Who Do You Love? Who Do You Love? One week before Jesus would be crucified, 1 week before he's be crucified, Jesus has dinner with Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And during the dinner, Mary demonstrates her love to Jesus. So this is a dinner. Remember, this is 1 week before Jesus is crucified. And so we'll look at John 12:3. That's the context of John 12:3 here. It says this: Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Now, as you have this, as we look at this and think, well, wait a minute. In biblical times, it was a custom for people to clean their feet with water before they entered in someone's home. It's sandals and it's dusty, you're walking around. So it was just typically, you enter someone's home, you would clean your feet with water. And also, when you ate a meal with someone, you didn't have tables and chairs, you reclined. They had a lower table, you reclined on one arm, you'd eat with the other hand. If you're like me, I love these old, like, history things and watch these movies about the Romans and stuff, and they'll show you those pictures, and that's how they ate, you know. So you had the hierarchy of the Romans. They would eat like that. They had one arm. So that's how people would eat. So this is a situation that Mary walks into. Jesus is reclining, and his feet are out to one side of him. They're out to one side of him. And so what she does, she anoints them with perfume and wipes them off with her hair. So Mary's selfless act of devotion of pouring perfume worth a year's wages, okay? It just, you didn't go out and get, you know, $10 and with your stuff and get a bottle of perfume. Now this is worth a year's wages, what she used here. And so that's what she pours on Jesus' feet to clean them with. And she wipes them off with her hair on this. Now, just the picture of this, this expresses her deep love and honor she has for Jesus. This is the whole picture of this. And now, most certainly, you know, she's thankful for Jesus raising her brother Lazarus. I'm sure she's thankful of that. That's fresh on her mind that Jesus has raised Lazarus from the dead. But the thing of it is, what here, the true depth of her love comes from the reality that Jesus also loves her with all his heart. And she embraced that of how much he loved her. And so what she does is she's loving him back because she understands that. And it's something that we should understand. If you look at 1 John 4:19, we don't have an overhead, but 1 John 4:19, it says this: We love because Jesus loved us first. And so, you know, we just say, oh, just love Jesus. Don't ever tell anybody that. Don't ever tell anybody that, okay? You look and say, know how much Jesus loves you. And as soon as they can comprehend how much Jesus loves them, they'll love him back. Doesn't work the opposite way. Does not work the opposite way. See, in any discussion, you explain, this is how much Jesus loves you. The self-sacrificial that Jesus loves you. And so what happened here is you have this picture that, based on this scripture, Mary understood that. Mary understood that. And so, therefore, this motivates her action at this time. Motivates her action. Now, there's... And you notice here, it's so fascinating how it states here. It's almost like you can almost feel it. But the sweet aroma of the perfume filling the room. Can you see it just poured years worth of perfume, a wealth of perfume on the feet, Jesus' feet. And the whole room is just filled with the fragrance. And there, and this really, the whole room becomes like a lingering evidence of her love for Jesus. And we should, and so when we picture that, she's giving us an understanding of devotion and how she expressed that. It's interesting, our love for Jesus also should be a sweet aroma to those around us. You know, our love for Jesus should be a sweet aroma. And we have a love because we know he loves us. And that's a sweet aroma that accompanies us and is inhaled by those around us. I want you to think about that for a minute. See, that aroma, Jesus loves us and we're loving him back. And that's an aroma that accompanies us wherever we go and is inhaled by those around us. Listen to what it says. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians 2:14 to 16. Chapter 2, 2:14 to 16. It says this: thanks be to God who uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of Christ everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are an aroma that brings death, to the other we're an aroma that brings life. Amen. See, Christians smell, but they smell good. They smell good, all right? And they have, their smell has a different impact to different people. But the way God sees it, we smell good to him. We smell good to him. There's an interesting thing that helps you look in the Old Testament, and it, when it describes the sacrifices, and it... You know, Jesus came in the book of Hebrews and says he is the sacrifice. So all these sacrifices are a picture of him in the Old Testament. And so they kill this lamb and do this. And you do think, oh my gosh, this is just a gory thing. They sacrifice it and the smoke goes up. And it says something very interesting in this. He says it's a sweet aroma to God. Why? Why would burning a lamb on an altar be a sweet aroma to God? Because that lamb represents Christ, and that dead lamb represents Christ's death on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, and therefore it smells good to God. It smells good to God, all right? Because he knows the people that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ will be with him for all eternity. So it smells good. Well, it's connected right here that we, as Christians, those who have trusted Christ, we smell good to God. Just like that sacrifice. You know. And it talks about, you know, our sacrifice to him, you know, is a sacrifice of praise. We smell good to Jesus. We smell good to Jesus. But also says, you're a sweet smelling aroma to everyone around you. around you. I always use this, and I'm as convicted as I hope you are. But it's like, okay, I don't like my neighbor. Irritating, you know. Says, we'll go over and talk to him because you smell good. I said, well, he don't smell good. You see what I'm saying? Somebody comes and interferes in talking to you and just taking away your time. You should speak to them because you smell good. Someone comes up to you and says, I don't like you. You know, I don't want to be around you. And you go, that's because I smell good. You see, that's what it's saying here. It is saying here. It's, we're an aroma of Christ. We are an aroma of Christ. Well, what do we got to do? I mean, what it says you got to do is smell good. Smell good. Well, how do you smell good? What did Mary show that we smell good? Is she loved Jesus. That's what made her smell good. Now, she physically showed us with pouring perfume on his feet, clean it with her hair, and the room filled with that. But that's a physical picture of her love, her devotion. So that's how we smell good to other people, is because we are devoted to Christ. And that's just what we do. We just do. We smell good because we're devoted to Christ. We naturally smell good. Y'all with me? Fascinating when you see, and that's the context what we have here. That's the context between Mary right here and that verse in 2 Corinthians. Same context. And that's what Jesus is trying to tell us. See, and so we're aroma. First of all, we're a pleasing aroma to God. Okay? But we're an aroma, a pleasing aroma to everyone else. But some know that this place, I don't want to go there, and it becomes offensive. Smells good, but it becomes offensive because I'm not doing that. I'm not putting God above everything else. But those that sounds good to me, now you're drawn because it smells good. So what we have here, back up what we have here, we are an aroma of Jesus, period. We are. Now, so when you look at this picture, so you have this picture of what Mary did, and the whole room is filled with the fragrance of the perfume she put on Jesus' feet, you know, we need to understand, if we're without understanding, if we are without understanding, we can only see finite human benefits that tie us to this perishing world. And then, like Judas, we may object to Mary's seemingly wastefulness. So if we're tied to the world, what are you doing? What are you doing? It has no purpose. There has no purpose except expressing a devotion to Jesus. It has no purpose, you know. And in the physical, finite world, oh man, we could do some big stuff, right? We could do some big stuff for the world. Well, that's just what Judas said. That's what Judas said, all right? And Jesus said exactly in John 12:5, he says this, why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. What in the world are you doing, woman? I mean, that's what he's saying. Do you see this unfolding here? Now, truly, this gift was worth a year's wages. It was. Like I said, it wasn't a little bottle. It was worth a year's wages. It's like, I mean, don't want to know, but just crack up in your head a year's wages. Okay, I'm going to go pour it on Jesus' feet. And probably, these weren't wealthy people. It was probably all the money they had. You see what's happening? I mean, the context here. And Judas is going, Whoa, buddy. Oh, buddy, you want to spread the kingdom? Okay, we got a good start right here, you know. Judas would have made a good televangelist. Now, see, so what we have here, Jesus is really making us look at something. He's making us examine something, you know, by expressing this. Now, listen to what Jesus says. After Jesus says this, listen to what Jesus says. And here's an overhead. I have the overhead here on this one. John 12:7. Jesus said, leave her alone. Leave her alone. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. No, she did what she was intended to do. She was intended to pour this bottle perfume worth a whole year's wages on my feet and show devotion to me and wipe it off with her hair. Leave her alone. So, Jesus is really serious about this. He's really serious about the thing that's going on here. And he also goes on and says this, you always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. You go, whoa. See, now you know that Jesus often told his disciples to remember the poor. He's often said that. But here, a bigger question's being asked. A bigger question's being asked. And the question is, who do you love? That's a question here. And well, I'll go feed the poor. Well, a lot of people feed the poor. Do something that only you can do. Do something that only you would do. And pour a year's worth of perfume out on my feet and wipe it out with your hair. This is what was intended. And she prepares and is preparing me for my burial. See the spiritual dynamic that is happening here that Jesus is letting us in on? He's letting us in on that which Mary knew, may not could have articulated it, but she knew in her heart. She knew that in her heart. And that's what motivated her. Now, so we're looking at this picture, say, golly. So Mary's action was a beautiful expression of her love and devotion to Jesus. Now, what we know, within a week, of this, Jesus will be grieving in Gethsemane, and he will be crucified at Golgotha. See, in a week, that's what's going to happen to him. And I believe Mary understood. She understood this. She knew this. And so there's a focus right here. In addition, Mary's act was understood by Jesus as anointing his body beforehand in preparation for his burial. So he knew, she knew, and he knew, you know. And, you know, it's kind of when she knew and he knew, it's okay. It's okay. And it's this devotion to Jesus that he willingly accepts. He willingly accepts this. You know, and this is important to look at this because this is some problems like people have with Christianity. It's just all this Jesus for this and sacrifice all this. But what about everything else? By the way, which they can do nothing about. But they like to put it on believers when they're devoted to Christ. But we have a devotion to Christ because we see who he is, what he is, and what he's capable of. See? But not many people do. Not many people do. So, and it's possible Mary had a greater sensitivity to what was about to happen to Jesus than the 12 disciples did. They didn't do anything. Judas, they thought one place said some of the disciples disagreed. But they only call out Judas. Okay, they only call out Judas. So she had this sensitivity that the other disciple didn't have. She just knew. Jesus received it like she knew, you know. So, now Jesus had foretold all of them about his death. So he already, they didn't understand it, but he'd already foretold all of them, as we can see in the Gospels. Now, so it's not surprising, would not be surprising, that Mary was aware of his impending death. She fully knew what was going to happen. He told the disciples that he was going to Jerusalem to die. Okay, so he's going to Jerusalem, okay? Now, the rest of them are like, okay, we're going as the king, you know, we're going to make a big show. Because it couldn't register, but I think she knew. And now that's me. It doesn't say it, but I perceive she knew. Therefore, she was moved to give a valuable material expression of her esteem for Jesus. Her love, her devotion. The one who self-sacrificially loved her. The one who was going to die for her. Now, Mark really puts this a beautiful way. Mark says it very interesting. And just listen to this. In Mark 14, verse 6, it says this. But Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing for me. For you always have the poor with you. And whenever you want, you can do good for them. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could." She has done what... Remember the woman that gave 2 pennies at the, you know, at the temple? And Jesus goes, "She gave more than every one of you." Oh, she had. See, Jesus's view of that. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. Now, so you got this picture. It's like, oh my God. There's definitely a message going on here of what Jesus is saying to us and about him and his and our devotion to him and his desire to have that devotion. A lot of people have a problem with that. Well, why does Jesus want this devotion? Why is he so interested? Because with the devotion, we recognize he's the creator of all things. He's the God of all things. And he is the God that gives us life. And we can't have it but through him. And so he knows that devotion is the only thing that will save us. Because he is the author of it all. And he wants us to realize that. So here's the picture. Well, we have, God also gives us another lady, all right? Another lady, totally different lady. God gives us another lady who's deeply aware of her own sinfulness. Okay, deeply aware of her own sinfulness, but she heard of Jesus' love and his forgiveness, and she shows a similar devotion of love to Jesus. Now again, she heard of his devotion to mankind. She heard of his forgiveness to people. And so as a result, she loves back and shows her devotion because she understands his devotion to her. See what I'm saying? Now, so in this situation, Jesus has been invited to a meal by a religious leader's home. This is a religious leader's home, fancy place, I assume, and his name's Simon. Okay, so Jesus is invited to dinner here, and this is way before this Mary anoints Jesus' feet. So Jesus is in his home, and they're reclining for dinner, or to eat. And this woman... this sinful woman, and I don't know how Simon knew it. He looks at her and he goes, "This is a sinful woman." So I don't know. He knew she wasn't supposed to be there. So uninvited, she comes into Simon's house and stands behind Jesus. You have a little bell or something. You think, "Somebody help, you know, get the servants here. We need to get her out of here." I mean, that's just me. But uninvited, she just comes into this house where everyone is eating, and she stands behind Jesus at his feet because he's reclining. Now look at this overhead. This is worth having an overhead. And it says this, Luke 7:38. And she stood behind Jesus at his feet weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair. She kissed them and poured perfume on them. You know, you're supposed to come in somebody's house, wash your feet. It's really humble when you have to wash somebody else's feet. And that's what these women did. That's what they did. Huge act of humility, huge act of love, huge act of humility, huge act of love. So here's the situation. That's the situation. So Simon, the religious leader, is going, it says, you know, the verse, Jesus ought to know who this is. I mean, he ought to say, just stop. I mean, he's just like, this is, you know, his whole dinner is just going tanking right here, okay? So Simon has all these thoughts about this woman, and so she's crying all over Jesus, and she's wiping his feet with hair, puts perfume, kissing his feet and rubbing her hair. He's, you know, I mean, that would really interfere with a theological discussion. See, but this is what's happening. This is what's happening. Now look what Jesus does. Here's a woman. So he's looking. Now, this is very important. He's looking at the woman, and he talks to Simon. This is important, all right? So Simon's sitting there. He looks at the woman, but while he's looking, he talks to Simon. In Luke 7:44, it says this. Then Jesus turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet." "But she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you," he's still looking at the woman. "Therefore, I tell you, Simon, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown." Do you see that? The evidence is her great love, her passion, who she is. She's evidence that her sin, he knows her sins are forgiven because she is overwhelmed with the love of Christ. And this is what it's evidenced by her actions to do this. You see? She's been forgiven as her great love has shown. So when there's a recognition that your sins are forgiven, that Christ loves us, there's a great love and devotion that pours back out to Christ. See? Disciples weren't impressed. Judas certainly wasn't impressed. And so God is telling us something important here. And it's about the devotion of the people who love him. Love him. Now, Jesus, I don't know why this, anyway. Now, Jesus gives a little in-your-face to Simon. Okay, I mean, it is a Jesus in-your-face kind of thing, you know. And Jesus continues, and he says, you know, "Her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown." But Jesus goes on to say, "But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Simon, I mean, it's like, you see what he's saying? No, you wouldn't do this as you've been forgiven little. You don't have that much love for me because you don't think you needed my forgiveness that much. Simon, see. But the one I honor, this woman, is who I honor. Because she understands what I did for her. And because she understands that, she loves me back. Well, I just feel out of touch with God. Then you don't have a clue what he's done for you. If you knew what he had done for you, you would not be out of touch. Couldn't be. You see what I'm saying? Now, there's things happen. But it's like the love that God has for us goes through and works all things in our life and changes our whole perspective. These ladies give us an example of devotion and love to the Lord Jesus. This is what you're supposed to do. You see what I'm saying? This is what you're supposed to do. This morning I've been wrestling with a story to share with you, and I've actually shared it with you before, but I'm going to share it with you again, and I'm sharing it for one reason only. And the reason I'm sharing it is to show you Jesus is really serious about this. I mean, we can read this and it's just letters on the page. Okay, wow, that's cool. Wow, you know. It's like, but that's not what this is. To understand the depths of Jesus' hand, this is the devotion I expect. This is the devotion that gets you into heaven. It's not a casual belief, lukewarm, whatever. You know, this is the devotion God expects that these ladies show. See, and what they've shown is that, who do you love? They've shown it. They've exhibited, given evidence of who they love. All right, here's the story, true story. 10 years ago, I don't know, 50, I can't, years and years ago, I went through an absolutely devastating situation. And I mean like devastating with capital D. It was just crushing. Like I thought I was going to die, like I wanted to die. I mean, it was so crushing. And it's like, so I came here to church. It was about midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. So I just came here to church. You couldn't sleep. And I just walked around. And I just cried out and just praying. I didn't pray. It was more like I was wailing to God, just praying, screaming out. You know, I mean, literally screaming out. So this is a good place to scream out because nobody can hear you. Okay? They're just screaming out. Okay, God, just. And for, I was here for hours or couple of hours, just screaming out, and I said, God, why don't you help me? Why don't you fix this? Why don't you do it? And just screaming, I said, God, tell me something. Why don't you say something? Tell me something, okay? And he did. He did, and it wasn't an audible voice, but it was so clear and strong in my head, it seemed like an audible voice. Where I stopped. And got my attention. So I just said, screaming out, God, tell me something. Speak to me, God. Speak to me, God. And he says, who do you love? My situation didn't change, but my view changed. That was his answer. Who do you love? And if I look, will you? Then let me have this. Just let me have it. Pour all your perfume on my feet and let me have this. So I share that Jesus is dead serious about this. He's dead serious about our commitment. He's dead serious about when we see the world falls around, part around us, he goes, who do you love? And we love the one who has the world in his hands. And we follow him in that no matter what, because we love him no matter what anybody said. It's of ultimate importance. And these two ladies demonstrated it. He gave us a picture. He goes, Wallace, this is what it looks like. Pour out everything you have on my feet. So we understand how much Jesus, when we understand how much Jesus loves us, we have similar devotion. We will have similar devotion, and love will be evidenced in our own life. In our own life. Now, ladies, I'm going to say a little quick word to you, ladies. I do believe God has given you a unique sensitivity to worship and to worship and love that reflects Christ. You really do. I think you have a unique sensitivity on that. And I think as men, we should honor and protect that sensitivity. Okay? That's a dynamic that God has given us. Okay? So, however, this is not limited to the ladies. Jesus asks us all, who do you love? Who do you love? And just listen to what he says in Matthew 22, 36 and 40. Just listen to what he says in Matthew. A man says this, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind," like these two women. "This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." Now listen to what it says in 40. All of us to-do people. Listen to what it says in verse 40. Jesus says, all the law and the prophets. Or he's saying, all the Bible. And he uses this word. All the Bible hang on those two commandments. I want what Jesus says. I want to be obedient. I want to do what Jesus says. What do you do? Two commandments. Two commandments. There's just two. And if you do these two, the Bible hangs on them. You do these two, and you can't help but do what the Bible says. You see what I'm saying? You can't help but do what the Bible says when you love your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on this. All the Bible hang on this. And you can't help do what you're supposed to do. Then here, well, God speak, what am I to do? Who do you love? Do that. That's the issue. You're wailing. It's because you don't understand. Who do you love? Who do you love? And when that turns around, well, you, Lord Jesus, then the world changes. And all of a sudden, you're in step with Christ. The world changes. Pain didn't go away, but you're in step with Christ. And you see your food. He's doing something bigger than you. Do you, any of you imagine that Jesus does stuff bigger than you? Think you're the biggest problem, biggest hurt you ever had. Jesus is doing something bigger than you. And your wailing is saying, no, you didn't, God. No, you're not. So, I mean, that's what it's saying right here. Any, you know, this is the whole thing. The law, it says in Galatians, that those that are bound by the law are alienated from Christ. You can't comprehend Jesus' love if you're under the law. You're alienated from Jesus. I'm doing these things for Jesus. You're alienated from Jesus. See, what you do to do what God says, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And your neighbor as yourself. In the Bible, H-A-N-G, hangs on this. I want to do this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Your neighbor as yourself. Hangs on this. pretty simple. This is the only work necessary for believers. That's it. It's the only work. Only work. And it is this. This is the work. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. All the Bible hang on these two commandments, and it is a sweet aroma to God. We smell good to God, and we smell good to everybody around us. That's it. Now, we do this, all the craziness of the world, if we do this, all the craziness of the world immediately clears up. It clears up. All right? We do this, it clears up. So the question is, I'm talking to myself, okay? Talk to me. Run right here wailing, like, okay, I'm talking to me. And God goes, what? Who do you love? And that's all he said. That's all he said in my life, two or three times. That's all he said. He goes, who do you love? And I immediately knew what he meant. See, and so that's the answer to my problem and the answer to your problem is this. Who do you love? Period. Period. That's it. And remember, God loved us first. God loved us first. Why do you love God? Because he loved me first. Everything clears up. Everything clears up. And then we have our last overhead. And all these things to me is fascinating because it makes this well-known verse even more profound. You know, more profound. Any third grader knows it, but this makes it even profound. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish and have eternal life. And Mary poured out a year's full of perfume on Jesus' feet and wrapped them up with her hair. And another woman came in and bawled over Jesus' feet and wiped her tears off with her hair because they understood how much God loved them. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish and have eternal life. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you. Lord, I mean, we look at this, and it's beyond comprehension. And as we look at this, God, we call out to you, and we want to thank you, God, for how much you loved us. I know everyone in this room, sometime in their life, sometime down the road, someplace, they understood that Jesus loved them, that Jesus died for them. And as they understood that love, then they started to love back. They started to love back. And they can never lose sight of the Lord Jesus Christ because he's already shown that he loves them. And he just said, camp out on that. Camp out on that and love me back. And your neighbor is yourself. Bible will clear up. The Bible will clear up. All right? Because it all hangs on this and nothing else. Dear God, we thank you for this. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen, amen.